Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
You're listening to episode 138 of the God Centered Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden. And today I'm chatting with your favorite and mine, Francie Winslow.
What happens after sex is that the power of unity, when two become one, so propels them that God gave them the first commandment to go and take dominion on the earth together. Go and bear fruit on the earth. Yes, children, but in John 15:8, we hear Jesus say, "My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit," right? That fruitfulness is what we were made for, not just children, but we were made for fruitfulness in our marriage. And that's one of the powerful, wonderful things about having a biblical sexual worldview, is that sex is as a fruit multiplier, not just for children, but for impact. And it ripples out, and literally our connection in our marriage, our sense of unity and oneness that can be a big part of our sex life produces oneness. When we have oneness in our marriage, it impacts out, ripples out to impact all sorts of other areas of our lives.
Oh, I love Francie's heart for this topic. And if I forgot to give you the warning before, here's your warning now. This may be an episode you want to put the earbuds in, especially if you have super young children and you don't want them to hear the word sex over and over and over. Because Francie's coming back on. She's talked to us about soul freedom. You remember I did the encore episode of that this summer. In episode 61, she talked about the power of sex in marriage, and that was almost 2 years ago. Since Francie last talked to us, she has been learning a lot, not just about the power of sex in marriage, but the power of sex to impact our communities, our country, and the ripple effect of it, and the connection, the importance. She talked about how it helps us stay connected as a couple, and that connection is so powerful. And there's a lot of things in our world that inhibit connection. So we spent a good chunk of time talking about technology and some helpful ideas if you're finding your technology to get in the way of your connection as a couple. For those single moms out there listening, I just want you to be encouraged that Francie has a word for you and for all of us moms who want to help our children gain a healthy view of not just sex, but the body. Francie's been doing a lot of studying of theology of the body, and she has some great resources that I've put in the show notes. You can find those in the blog post associated with this episode. Can't wait to share all of this goodness with you. But before we get to it, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Jelly Telly. Okay, great news, y'all. It is not too late to sign up for those family devotionals I told you that Jelly Telly was giving you for free. Did I say free yet? 16 devotionals, 5 minutes. That's all it takes for you to help your kids learn the life and teachings of Jesus. They'll learn that Jesus is Messiah, teacher, and king. For just 5 minutes a day, 4 times a week, you'll discover how Jesus fulfilled Old Testament prophecies, taught about the life and kingdom of God, died and rose again to bring us the gift of new life in him. Your family is going to love the weekly memory verse, short video, discussion questions, and new daily printable activities on the Jelly Telly blog. To sign up to receive these free devotionals, go to godcenteredmom.com/devo, D-E-V-O, and you'll get your first one. All right, let's get to my conversation with Francie. Here we go. Hey, Francie, welcome back to the God Centered Mom Podcast.
Hey, Heather, it's so fun to be back here. I love hanging out with you on your podcast. It's so fun.
And I don't get to talk about sex enough. So I was...
Yeah. I get that a lot when I go to churches. They're like, we don't talk about this very much. So it's good. We need to have these chats.
Or marriage, I feel like. In this season of motherhood, we sometimes are just thinking about our kids and how we're failing or how we want to do better. And we kind of neglect that whole relationship. So I'm always thankful when you come on and we can talk about our broken places and our healing and our inner healing. You've been on for that. And then you've talked to us about the power of sex and kind of blown our mind at how important that is in our marriages. And I'm just thankful to have you back on.
So awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. So tell us where what's happened since you were last here. Where has God been shifting and moving your heart?
Okay. So I feel like the last time I was here, it may have been a couple years ago, mm-hmm. but I grew up, as you would hear in the other podcast, if you listen to it, in the church, really got spoon-fed the abstinence message, which is wonderful. I'm so grateful for it. It was, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then I got married and I didn't know how to do it or how to think about doing it. And so that's kind of where God began developing me about 11 years ago in our brand new marriage, with the context of a lot of inner healing, which you and I have talked about that as well. And just shifting my views on sex, that it's not dirty and it's not a duty, but it's actually a blessing and a delight, and even what I like to call now a multiplying factor in awesome. Our lives, that it actually produces more fruit, not only kid-wise. As you and I both know, we got 4 kids each. It produces kids, but it also produces a massive amount of connection. And so I started talking to moms about this specifically, a lot of MOPS groups, women's ministries, women's retreats. I talk about intimacy with God a lot because it really all points back to that. But I started talking about sex specifically, and something in me, Heather, knew that it's not even just about our happy marriages. I was talking about the power of sex in marriage and how good it is for our marriage, but I felt like deep in my spirit, there's more to this message. Mm. And that is when someone on a school bus on the way to a Washington, D.C. field trip with my kids said, over, the cries of all the kids screaming and jumping around the school bus, "Have you ever heard of theology of the body?" This mom in the back of the bus, I'm like, no. She scoots a little closer and breaks it down for me, the fact that God, in the beginning, stamped his very image on the body of a man and a woman so that we would fully know what he is like as we become fully alive as men and women, and as we come together in the beautiful gift of sex. So it is this beautiful theology, and I started diving into it head first. I've read lots of books and listened to lots of teachings, and honestly, Heather, I just cry while I was listening to it, because it was forming my mind and my heart about sex in a whole new way. So I think since we last talked, it was my focus was on marriage and making marriage great, and God has just kind of blown up my view of sex and even the body to see more of a Genesis to Revelation view on his good plans for sex and for our bodies, and how we can rethink sex in a way that will literally transform how we live and how we train up our kids.
Awesome.
Yeah. Wow.
And I know since we talked to you, you've added that 4th child, and
yep.
You're in the process of adding more.
Yes.
Through adoption.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are
Tell
in the process. That. Yeah. We're in the process of adopting domestically, and we are probably going to be getting a little tiny baby, a little newborn. And so that's very exciting. And, it's one of those things that's been in our hearts for years and years. But when you say yes to God, something I've learned in the process is that we think, oh, I'm saying yes to God on this big challenge to do good in whatever area it is. And in the process, God is so committed to making us whole and healed. When we think we're going to go heal somebody else,
help somebody
else, he's like, girl, let me help you. And so this adoption process has been very refining, to be honest. What it has shown me is a lot of stuff under the surface that I needed to see and ask God to come and minister to my heart. So while we're talking about sex, this is kind of an interesting story about the adoption. We were in the process, doing the home study, doing all this work, and I was getting really excited about projects that I was working on for ministry and work, and I started getting overcome with anxiety, Heather. I mean, heart pounding. I can't do this. All I could do was look around for the eject button. I'm like, something is not right in me. And so I started trying to express this to Wyatt, my husband. And it was kind of an immediately serious conversation for both of us, because we realized, whoa, we need to talk through some of this stuff. We called our babysitter. She came over, and we were getting dressed. We're like, we got to go on a date. Can you come over? She came over. While we were getting dressed, we were feeling really disconnected, super disconnected. And I think it was because this is something just very deep in both of our hearts. And I was suddenly backpedaling, and he thought we were running together ahead. And so she comes over. We are getting dressed for our date. We say, you know what? We're super disconnected. Let's have sex. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. It was very much of a choice, because one of the things I'm constantly talking to moms about sex is that it's really, that I've found, not about your libido or the mood or the romantic nature of your experience. It is about connection. And we were really needing to fight for connection. So we were getting ready for a date. We said, let's have sex. So we had sex before our date. We went on our date. We got more disconnected on our date. It was so rough. Came home in like a silent car ride home. We came home and we had sex again that night. And your listeners
are
pregnant.
You're like, wild. This is a wild kind of night. This is crazy.
I know, you guys. And what's so funny is that it was not, you know, wild. It was, hey, we're going to fight for our connection, because it feels like all the forces of, you know, hell and darkness are pulling away from each other. And so what we realized at that moment was that sex is so powerful, and we've been practicing this for a while. In times of stress, we up our amount of sex. Instead of reducing it, we increase it, because what we found is that God's training us to fight for connection and fight for each other rather than fighting against each other. And so in the middle of our fight, if you want to call it that, or our disconnection, we decided to have sex before our date. And then after our date, and it was just a rough night altogether. We did not seem to come to a resolution. We went to bed. I woke up the next morning and spent time with the Lord, as is my daily practice. And I just was sitting with God. I'm like, Lord, what is happening in my heart? And almost as if like clouds parted, I kid you not, it was the Lord just said to my heart, Francie, you are bound up in fear. I've not called you to be a natural mom. I've called you to be a supernatural mom filled with me. You can't do all of this by yourself. Cause I was just so afraid I couldn't do it all. And, he interjected in the midst of that moment. It was just like, I want to set you free from fear. And so I tell you that story because what we've seen is that God has a mission for families, and he has a mission for couples. And when life, whether it's stress at work or stress for a ministry mission that you're doing, or stress from just kids happens, it's so easy to just start running in opposite directions because you want to protect your heart, or you want to just avoid the pain. And what God has been teaching us is to lean into each other and to literally just fight for our connection by gluing our bodies together, because there's something really powerful about what our bodies do when we choose to give the gift of ourselves to each other. Yeah. You can't help but have a soft heart towards each other. And
I don't think anyone listening could disagree. You can tell in your marriage when you're stopping being for each other and you're starting to look out for yourself. And because in the last few months in our own life, my husband's kind of starting to launch this business, and there's a lot of extra stress and a lot of walking by faith and a lot of good days and bad days. The extremes are, you know, we're not doing the same thing every day. Like, it's not like he has a 9-to-5 and it's the exact same thing. We're just going through the motions and there's boredom. It's more just a lot of excitement and disappointment daily. And so for us, it was
lots of highs and lows.
And for us, it was those, like I've shared with you, the 24-hour getaways. We've done some of those in the last couple months. It's been these daily walks side by side where, just hearing each other here. I'm feeling more valued as an input into his life rather than just a receiver of what's going on. It's more collaborative when we're side by side walking and talking through each of our own pursuits, and then just intimacy, like choosing that when we can tell,
choosing it.
We can tell when it's been a while, or, you know, it's just the connection is pulled and strained. So I totally agree with all of that and how external stress can try to pull apart that connection. And the world would tell us to continue to fight for our own rights.
And to self-protect.
Yeah. And you and I were talking also technology, how that impacts.
Totally. Oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. And I think connection with my kids too, but that's a whole nother topic. But our connection in our marriage, if we're constantly pulling out the phone, how have y'all seen technology to impact your marriage connection?
You know what? I did a little video. I think it's on my blog. I did it on YouTube a while back about how my husband actually super convicted me of this. It was very humbling because I, like anybody else, have an addiction to scrolling, and I look for my phone even when I don't need it, have no reason to be on it. I grab it, I unlock it real quick, and I am on it. And then I'm realizing, why am I on this? Mm-hmm. I have no reason to be on my phone right now. And so I started realizing this is a problem for me. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to distraction. I don't really want to be plugged into my kids right now. You know, these feelings of I want to be anywhere but here, which is sad, but it's true because yeah. I long to feed myself with a distraction, which actually is a hormonal release in our brains called dopamine. Mm. That is a reward system where the more we do something, the more we want it. And actually, you can apply it to sex because dopamine is released during sex. So the more sex you have, the more you want it. That's a little side tip. The less sex you have, the less you want it because the less dopamine you have in your body. With your phones, it's the same thing. The more you're scrolling, the more you're always on it, the more you want it and the more you go for it. And so my husband asked me one day, and he wasn't trying to directly lead me. He was just seriously trying to honor me because he realized that when someone's on the phone in your presence, it feels disrespectful. And so he asked me one day in the car, hey, do you mind if I text Timmy, my friend, to see about our lunchtime? And I'm like, of course I don't mind if you text him. And then he started doing that regularly. Whenever I was around, he'd ask my permission to use his phone. And it started irking me because I was feeling convicted. I'm like, why would I mind? Use your phone. Everybody uses your phone, their phone all the time. No, I don't mind. You're making me feel self-conscious about how often I'm on my phone. Mm. And God started softening my heart and just realizing he is right. And so this was probably about a year ago, at least, where we really started being mindful of how much we're on our phones and realizing for me, it was way too much, and asking each other's permission when we're around each other. Because A, for me, it checks me. I'm like, do I need to be on Facebook right now so much so that I'll ask his permission? No, I don't need to. Let me wait for that. Yeah. And if I do need to, I'll ask permission. So that's been an interesting little dialogue that we've had with each other that's really created a higher sense of respect for each other. And it has made our time much sweeter because we're not both zoning out on our phones in each other's presence. We've just kind of checked that at the door. Mm. We've passed that on to our kids and given them permission to ask us to enter in that conversation as well. So when I'm with the kids, I will try and ask their permission. Hey guys, do you mind if I send this email real quick? I don't expect them to say, no, you can't do that. I just want to teach them that that's the process of honoring human beings.
That's really good.
That you tell them you're more valuable than this phone. Because if you think about it, if you're in a lunch meeting with somebody and you get a phone call, you wouldn't just interrupt that person and take the call. You would say,
well, some people do. Sorry. That might actually happen.
I guess do. But old school, I guess you would say, I'm so sorry. Do you mind if I take this real quick? I have to. You know, you would acknowledge them, their presence, and then take it. But now you're having, you know, lunch with friends and people are just on their phone. And anyway, I've talked to a lot of moms who tell me about, you know, time at night when it's date. We call our time at night from 8 to 9 date night every night. But so I've tried to have conversations with moms about how you use your time to create connection in your marriage. And they're like, well, yeah, at night, mostly I picture what our nights look like is we're on either side of our sectional, both of us on our phone and watching TV at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, it totally stinks. I'm like, yeah, I can see that that's a really common thing in families, in marriages, and it zaps our connection. So a few of the things we've done in our family as a whole is we do our date night every night where we don't use phones. We leave our phones out of our date night time at night. So no tech is involved there. And we got a tech box for our kitchen, which has been really great so that when we come home or get into the house, we just drop our phones in that box that's in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. So they're not on our person because I was finding that I literally will carry it mm-hmm. everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And I don't want to model that for our kids. So those are a few of the things that we've done. I think 1 month we kind of went screen free all together at night. Cause you know, we, from our 8 to 9 times, sometimes we'll be intimate, sometimes we'll watch a movie, but we were kind of in this exhausted rhythm where we were constantly just saying, let's just watch a movie. And we found that did not increase our connection. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, you know, let's just challenge ourselves a little bit, turn the no Netflix, you know, for this month. And we ended up, you know, playing card games, reading, talking. And you know what the real truth is, Heather? Mm-hmm. We went to bed at 8 o'clock a lot of those nights because what we realized is we were really tired. Yeah. And yeah. we were thinking, oh, we want to hang out together. But we were making ourselves more exhausted by watching a movie as opposed to getting a good 15 minutes of connection time and then be like, it's 8:30, let's go to bed. And what that did is allowed us to wake up really fresh, have a sweet time with God in the morning or just a cup of coffee together. And it just made our rhythm of life much more connected. So I would say the theme of anything I talk about in marriage is connection. What feeds your connection and reevaluating your sex life or your tech life through that lens? Does this lead to more connection or less? Because it's pretty important.
So helpful and something that we don't evaluate. We just keep doing it, right?
Right.
We just keep doing what we're doing. And like you said, it's training our kids. They watch what we do more than what we say.
Yeah.
I can set boundaries on they're only allowed to have video game time on the weekends for this little hour. But if they see that I'm technically on my phone whenever yep. all day,
yeah,
it's not really training them that that's what adults do is
totally
have, limited screen time.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about sex and reconnection through sex and how it has, even in the stressful times, y'all are using, are choosing sex to reconnect. Mm-hmm. What about the gal out there that is struggles with that whole intimacy with her husband? And her view of sex has kind of been altered. What advice do you have for her?
Well, first of all, I'll tell her that she's not alone. I would say that the majority of women that I talk to struggle with their view of sex on some level or another. Because we're just, it's one of those things. One mom told me, she was like, thank you for giving voice to this thing that is always on our minds and it's heavy on our hearts. Mm. And I thought, wow, it's true. It's always on our minds, whether we feel pressure there, whether we feel wounding there, whether we feel inadequate there, whether we feel compared, all of these things play into our mindset on sex. And it is one of the most precious and valuable areas of our marriage that no one else is given rights to. Is supposed to be a part of, yet it's this place where we have so much input from other places that shape it in mostly negative ways. So I like to talk about three W's for our sexual worldview, because really that's what matters is evaluating our sexual worldview to begin with and saying, wait a minute, who influences the way I think about sex? Because if it's a hard thing for us, that's a big indicator that we're not seeing it God's way and we're not giving space in our hearts to let the Lord heal us, as we've talked about healing, because there's places where we're hurting. And when sex is really painful, that's just a beautiful invitation to come closer to Jesus and say, God, you gave this good gift to us. Can you heal me? Because I'm not seeing it as good and I'm not experiencing it as good.
And you're talking about emotional pain. We know that, like, when it's physical pain, go see the doctor. We were talking about when it's painful and it's causing you shame, guilt, resistance, and not having peace.
Yeah.
I think there can also be guilt in knowing that our husband desires it, needs it for their own stress relief and connection, but feeling so overwhelmed and tired in our lives as moms that we feel that guilt for not, you know. Being like, yes, honey, I would love to. Like,
yes.
So there's even those added layers of emotions to it.
Yeah. Here's what I'd say to that tired mama, because I've been there. Take care of yourself first.
Which is so hard. We just don't.
It's so hard.
Again, it goes back to the tech, though, probably, because we're scrolling.
It is tech. Oh, my gosh. I know when I've been on my phone too much, I feel it in my heart, mind, and body. My neck is cranked down. Mm-hmm. My posture is bad. My attitude feels depressed. Mm-hmm. And I feel discontent. Like, it's yucky. Oh, my gosh. I think, oh, I was on my phone that much today. That's my issues, maybe not other people's. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you my little rhythm of what I do every day to take care of myself. I homeschool my 4 kids and I am just barely doing, like, I'm doing my best to learn how to do that, I'll say. So my life is full, right?
Yeah.
But every day I aim to rest and work out and do a little bit of writing, whether that's some journaling, because I know that those three things make me come alive as a person. And you know what happens when I'm alive as a person? I'm alive as a wife and I have something to give my husband. When I am totally drained by life, I don't have anything extra. And so I have come to that point of realizing every day I need this. And so I've told my kids, they know that this is mommy's time. I need this hour. So whether you have to put them in front of a movie or you train them to just take naps or whatever it is, depending on their ages, prioritizing what a little bit of space for you to get some oxygen. So, because it is impossible to love well when we're depleted, you know, it's not possible. And, I have prioritized that and seen a huge difference because I have definitely been that exhausted mom that feels like I have nothing to give. Mm-hmm. And the first thing to do is give yourself grace, give yourself space, mm-hmm. and give yourself something that feeds you as a person. And then I think you'll see shifts happening where you have an ability to pour out, you know, and to connect further.
That's good. Okay. So get back to your worldview. What are the three ways? Worldview,
yeah. All right. So here's the deal. We are often formed in our view of sex by the world around us, which includes media. It could include movies like 50 Shades. It could include really lewd TV shows that are on these days that I'm not going to say because I've never actually seen them, but lots of stuff in the media that is trying to show us what sex and sexuality is. Mm-hmm. We can be formed in our sexual worldview by our wounds, by places we've been abused, misused, disgusted, places that hurt our hearts and that then make us feel yucky towards sex. Mm. And then we can be formed in our sexual worldview by the whispers of others around us. I talk about how when I grew up as a kind of just a good Christian girl who heard the abstinence message. I heard that from church, but then from the church ladies, I heard whispers of basically, I'd rather eat a cheeseburger than have to have sex with my husband from a really fit lady, you know, or whispers of all I want is some affection without erection. And all of these really negative, kind of silly, funny, but really sad statements mm-hmm. from Christian women that informed me that really sex is a duty and it's a drain. And that informed my worldview without really noticing it. And so I think when we look back at our lives and we think back of what makes me, what informs my thoughts on sex, it could be one of those things, or it could be, which is my prayer that we grow in as the church, is that our worldview about sex is informed by the good word of God. That's the fourth W, that the word of God would inform us. And when I say that, it gets back to that theology of the body and this good news that in Genesis 1:28, God designed a man and a woman in his image, stamped his very nature on their bodies. Because get this, God is an invisible God who wants to make himself visible to us. So he made a man and a woman, and he said, my nature is on this man and a woman. And then when they come together as one, an invitation is made clear that humanity is invited to be one with God. It's the story he wrote on a body of a man and a woman to have sex so that they could become one. Life is filled, the seeds of life are filled into the woman in her body, grows life, fruit is produced from her womb. It's the whole parable of the gospel that God, Jesus wants to fill us with his spirit, that life forms and fruit comes out of our lives, and that we would be intimately acquainted with God now and for eternity. Does that make sense? So it's the gospel story written on our sexuality.
You know, I heard Andy Crouch talk, and I mentioned this in a podcast recently on creativity, is he was talking about in the creation story in Genesis, God brings order and then abundance. And I think that's what he does with male and female. Our bodies are very ordered. Our cycles as women are very ordered. But out of that is the ability to create and multiply, and there's an abundance. And like you said, that's not even directly corresponding to the children that we produce, that there's actual abundance beyond just in that act. There's a ripple effect.
Absolutely. The ripple effect of sex is a title that I gave a talk that I did recently at the MOPS International Conference. And it's so true, because in that Genesis 1:28, he talks about, he blessed them. The first thing God did was he blessed a naked man and a woman, right? If that's hard for us to swallow,
Unashamed.
We need to say, God, help us be free from our shame. He blessed a naked man and a woman, and he thought it was very, very good. And he said, hey guys, I bless you. Come together, have sex. It's amazing and wonderful and so powerful. Because what's going to happen after you have sex is I want you to go forth, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and take dominion What happens after sex is that the power of unity, when two become one, so propels them that God gave them the first commandment to go and take dominion on the earth together. Go and bear fruit on the earth. Yes, children, but in John 15:8, we hear Jesus say, "My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit," right? Mm-hmm. That fruitfulness is what we were made for, not just children, which yes, we were made for children. Amazing. That's the generational legacy of God growing his kingdom, but we were made for fruitfulness in our marriage. And that's one of the powerful, wonderful things about having a biblical sexual worldview is that sex is a fruit multiplier, not just for children, but for impact. And it ripples out, and literally our connection in our marriage, our sense of unity and oneness that can be a big part of our sex life produces oneness. When we have oneness in our marriage, it impacts out, ripples out to impact all sorts of other areas of our lives. And I call that the five C's. I know it's ridiculous with my alliteration and my letters, but
it's order. You're bringing order.
It's order. No, it's so funny.
It helps. It helps us remember.
Right. You can make a printable. These of the ripple effect of sex is that when you have a powerfully unified sex life, which is so good, when you think of like 50 Shades of Grey, it's laughable compared to the goodness of God and God's way of sex, right? So when you have a powerful sex life, it doesn't necessarily always mean like crazy. It could mean like you're in the process of adopting and you have to fight for connection, right? Mm-hmm. But when you're fighting for that unity, like the story I talked to you about before, what happens is then your children is the first C are impacted because your ability to have peace in your home goes up when your connection is strong, right? Yeah. Your ability to parent from a place of unity and connection and gentleness, all of that happens much more when you're connected. And your kids see this powerful idea of a man and a woman fully alive, loving each other in an orderly and fruitful way. Then what happens is your career, that's the second C, your career gets impacted.
Yep.
It goes out to your church, your community, and even your country. So those are the five C's. If I could delve into those five C's.
Yeah, I want to hear. I'm ready.
Okay. So the children is the first realm. I think that's pretty obvious to most of us mamas to know how our kids are impacted. The career, I have a salesman, I have a husband, right? And I'm a writer. And so we need each other's support to do well, because when I feel a withdrawal of his support, I feel crushed because I think, how can I do this without feeling supported the same way with him? Mm-hmm. But how can I support him when I feel disconnected from him? Yeah. When I feel like I'm on a different planet. And when his work is stressful, he needs all the more grace from me. When he's depressed and down from his work, guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't initiate sex with me. Mm. That's when I initiate sex the most, is when he's down and doesn't want sex. Yeah. I initiate it all the time because I see that sex is a gift of ministry to his heart that touches something really deep that nothing else can touch. When he's discouraged, I initiate. People ask me all the time, what do you do when your husband doesn't, your sex drive stronger than your husband's? There's different ways to look at that. But one of the ways I look at it is I choose to initiate with him when he's not interested, especially when he's discouraged and depressed, because I know it ministers to him. And then his career is impacted by our unity. My career is impacted by our unity and our connection. You go out to church and community, which is essentially where we serve and where we do community, right? Where we have fellowship and where we see impact. And as an example in our family, you know, I've talked to you personally about it, but we moved into a new house almost a year ago at the end of this month. And we've had over 200 people in our home in the last year.
It's amazing.
For the ministry of hospitality. And some of them stay. We've had like a handful of families with a bunch of kids stay for extended periods. And what we've seen God do is invest what he's put in us in them. And we get to bless them and encourage them and listen well and pray for them. And they bless us as well. But it's been this really crazy season of outpouring that was not necessarily planned or expected, but we made ourselves available for it. We could have never blessed our church and our community like that if we were disconnected.
Yeah. Well, and you were blessed with a house that has its own separate sleeping area. Because it's hard to have the sex when you have people staying with you.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not next to our bedroom.
Okay.
They're really far away. Okay. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. But
Important to note.
Yeah. Oh yes. That did enable us, like just our connection in general, value and connection, our daily connection from 8 to 9, or even just eliminating tech more in our house increases our sense of connection to each other, which impacts our ability to serve. And then finally, I think it's clear how the ripple effect of having a healthy sexual worldview, a healed heart in terms of sexuality, impacts our country. We're seeing it right now in terms of lots of different areas of our nation that's being rattled sexually right now, yeah. Sexual identity, gender identity, what people in very powerful positions are talking about with their own sex lives and experiences.
That's pretty much all of the political conversation is. It's not about issues. It's about how they handle the other sex. Yeah.
That to me reflects total brokenness. But what if the families of our nation began this renewal in our hearts where we said, God, you're the author of this good gift. Come and renew us, remake us, remind us that we're your image bearers. And that even in the bedroom, we get to experience a revelation of who you are on our bodies, that you made us to be one so that we could be fruitful and multiply and fill and bless the earth, that our country would be blessed. I really believe it, that if families took this seriously and got whole, if mamas and daddies said, hey, let's prioritize our connection. Let's choose connection when it's easier to disconnect. Let's fight for our marriage. Let's fight for purity. Let's fight for healing. Let's lean in. Let's get counseling. Let's get inner healing prayer because we're messed up. That's where we were. We were messed up and Jesus offered us healing and we leaned into it. And it's a continual process of coming to God and saying, God, would you heal us? And it reminds me of 1 Peter 3:7, how Paul says, you know, he inferences basically that the husband's prayers are hindered because he's not loving his wife well. Mm-hmm. Our prayers are more effective. Our spiritual lives are more effective when our marriages are connected. When husbands and wives are loving well, God can pour out more into our lives because we're open and unified. And when we are leaning into each other, even if it's hard, even if we're not in the same place, say it's a mama loving God and the husband's not quite there yet, or the other way around, what we need to do is continue to lean into Jesus first and foremost as our healer, submit and love the heck out of each other. It's mutual submission, mutual blessing. Invite people to encourage you in your marriage, lean in, because the ripple effect is amazing. How God in the beginning created marriage and sexual intimacy to lead to earth care, in the sense of like taking care of the earth and seeing Jesus's prayer, God, would you let heaven come to earth? Would you let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Would you let your will be done in our marriage as it is in heaven? Would you let your will be done in our sex life as it is in heaven? So that we could be whole and healed and grace extenders, so that we could experience your goodness and your healing and your peace in our bedroom that extends out to impact our kids, our careers, our communities, our churches, and our country. So sex is a big deal.
Whew. Francie.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's good news, isn't it? I mean, it's just like, that's what God's like. He's full of good news. And we buy into the world's product of sex. And it's like, as one teacher, Christopher West, talks about, it's like we're eating out of a dumpster and it will make us sick. But if we see the goodness of God in sexuality and what he has for us, it's like sitting at a table with a banqueting table, a feast. And that's when we're really nourished and become fully alive. And that's really what I think a biblical sexual worldview invites us to, is really a feast. It's not about rules or judgment or who does it right or wrong between, you know, political opinions. It's about letting us feast on God's goodness and seeing his goodness in this area that sometimes is hard to see.
Yeah. And before we criticize everyone else, let's focus in, like you said, on our own hearts and our own space, yeah. And what we can impact, which is our family life. And do you have any words for the single mom listening? Maybe she may not have stuck through this whole episode, but in case she is, what words do you have for her in all of this conversation?
Well, I would say that for sure, no doubt about it, 100%, God is with you and God is covering you, and lean into his covering over you. When you feel lonely, know that he is with you and preparing you, and that you have the opportunity to lead your children well in this way. If you are not experiencing fullness in this area of your life, I would love to share a bunch of resources that I'm using to train my kids with this renewed sexual worldview, even as little kids, because if it's not working well in our lives, and if we don't have the opportunity to experience this abundance in our marriage for whatever reason at the moment, or in our lives at the moment, if you're not married, we do have the opportunity to begin to ask God to reveal us how to train our kids with this whole and healthy worldview. Yeah. And that's kind of where I would start.
Yeah.
And
I'll put all those resources in the show notes, because I do think there's power in not only renewing our minds when it comes to sex within marriage and the ripple effect, but modeling that for our children again.
Yeah, it has so much to do even with like them understanding how powerful their bodies are, even as toddlers. So I've got, not that I've written, but I'm using toddler books, elementary books, I have a book that I'm walking through my 8-year-old right now about sex, which is really interesting conversation to be having with my 8-year-old. But it's really important even talking to little ones about how beautiful, how powerful, how wonderful their body is, made in the image of God, that they use their hands to serve and their mouths to sing and their feet to jump, and how God's glorified through their bodies, because that is a precursor to them understanding how powerful it is to be a body filled with the Holy Spirit as they go to teenage years. That gives them a greater why for purity. Instead of just don't do it, you get an idea of God's goodness for your body and for your sexuality, as opposed to just rules.
And a body that's, like you said, led by the Spirit, not just responding to the impulse that God put in it.
Exactly.
And, I think this whole inhibition, entitlement, all these things that our culture has fought, if it feels good, I'm going to do it, mentality versus is it the right thing, is it the right time,
yes,
is it the right person, those thoughts are not not happening. Yeah. I even was watching an old Beth Moore, her Daniel study, and she was just talking, this was, oh my goodness, years ago she filmed it, and we didn't even have cell phones when she filmed it, or smartphones.
And that study.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. So she's talking about billboards and how tantalizing billboards are.
Only billboards were our problem now.
That was the problem, billboards. Not that they were on our phone or on our screens. It was billboards and how we are just primed already, like visually primed. So then when we get in a situation of intimacy that's outside of God's plan, our bodies just respond without any kind of inhibition, because we were already like 80% there because of our environment. Like you said, the W of the world, we're just, we're like primed and ready. And so why would I inhibit the natural feeling of that? And but you know, like you said, that not to say, well, the body is bad. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like,
absolutely. That's where shame comes in, is, oh, my body's bad. Or even my urges are bad. Yes. My longings are bad. My sex drive is bad. I should shut it off. No, you recognize how powerful it is. Because what you're, even your sex drive as a teenager, you could talk to your kids about, your sex drive indicates a longing for closeness. Where do you think that comes from? It's God's image on your body, longing for closeness. It's an echo of our eternal invitation. Everything's like an echo or a signpost pointing to the bigger, better reality. So we long for intimacy. Even a single mom, if she's still listening, or a, you know, engaged person, you long for intimacy. You long for closeness, to be one. We redirect that and say, God, you made me long for closeness. I want that from you first. And even to the mama who's listening, whose marriage is not in a really healthy place, I want to encourage her too, that intimacy and that longing, that emotional connection you long for, that you're not finding, be encouraged that nobody can find that fully in any human, and that God designed you to be filled with him fully first. And when you are filled fully with God, then you know a satisfaction that allows you to love in a hard place, and to love in a way that you can honestly bless that person, even if they're not in a healthy place, to love you back.
That's a good word. That's a good word right there. Oh, Francie, this is chocked full of goodness. I cannot wait to share it with everybody.
Yay.
I mean, for real. Y'all, to know Francie, to see her walking her life with her husband and her kids, and to know that everything she talked about is real and authentic. And you just spur us on in a good way, in a healthy way, to not settle into the culture, but to go above and beyond to the goodness God has for us. I read a verse in Ephesians, the Message version, that said, before we even knew of Christ and how he would save us and how he would set us up for glorious living. Mm. That's what he wants. Glorious living, abundant living, life, not this tired eyes, dragging our feet, misery.
You're right, Heather.
So thank
filled
you.
To the fullness of yes, God. That's yes. not joke. He's not joking.
He wasn't wanting us to go joking. Through the motions like we do. So
yeah. Yep.
Thank you for bringing us life and joy and connection and challenging us to consider some of the choices we have made with our technology and where our worldviews are coming from, and just really pushing for connection. So
it's good, Heather. Thank you so much. Thank you for serving us mamas. You do a great job.
Oh, you know what I think about you. All right. Love your babes.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I'm thinking there's going to be a lot of excitement in the bedrooms after listening to this episode. Some husbands are going to be pretty excited, not going to lie. So thank you all for listening. I do hope you check out those resources that Francie mentioned. So many good ones. Also, thank you all for your patience. I worked hard to get a podcast together for the Friday before I left on a trip, and I got the podcast ready and the blog post ready, but I did not connect the two. So if you get a chance, check out the free bonus episode. It's always free. The podcast is always free. I don't know why I said free. The bonus episode that I did with Drew Waters. He has been in several different movies and TV shows, including Breaking Bad and Friday Night Lights. And now he is going out on a limb, writing, producing, directing his own film with actress Erin Bethea. You might remember her from Fireproof. She was the wife in that. So make sure you check out the podcast, New Life Movie with Drew Waters. I hope you all have had a great week and that this episode either directed you to some healing and that you are going to spend some time healing maybe some wounds or some shifted worldviews you might have about sex. And if you are healed, that maybe it just inspired you to think about the ripple effect intimacy in your marriage. Do you see how I did it again? Intimacy in your marriage can have on your children, your church, your community, your country. The country needs you. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Have a great day. Bye. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the God-Centered Mom Podcast. If you're looking for more resources on how to replace me with he, go to godcenteredmom.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guest. I want you to really understand and know that God is just as present while you are washing dishes at your kitchen sink as while you are worshiping him in a church pew. He sees your service to your family and he is pleased. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.